Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, and of course, we're going to be talking a lot of NBA basketball throughout the day. If you are a Utah Jazz fan, you have got to have the biggest smile on your face today. Although you may be sad about Derek Favors, still over the last 48 hours, I mean, it's just been terrific to be a Utah Jazz fan, and we are going to talk Utah Jazz basketball right now with Dan Clayton. He's the managing editor and columnist at Salt City Hoops and is a terrific follow on Twitter as well. I mean, if you're a Jazz fan, make sure you follow him at Dan Clayton. That's C-L-A-Y-T-0-N, and he is joining us right now over the phone to talk about the Jazz. Dan, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, Jordan. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Again, as I mentioned, if you're a Jazz fan, you have got to be smiling. I know you and I talked a little bit off of the cuff. You couldn't recall the last time a free agent period was this fantastic for the Utah Jazz.
I mean, honestly, I don't think the Jazz have ever signed a player as a free agent who was coming off an 18-point-per-game season, right? Like, Carlos Boozer and Mehmet Okur were signed in the same offseason back in 2004, and that was a big offseason. But both of those guys were coming from being sort of lesser role players who then got better later as their Jazz careers went on. And Joe Johnson was obviously a big signing, but by the time he signed, he was definitely on the downward slope of his career. I can't remember getting a guy of Bojan Bogdanovic's stature as an unrestricted free, you know, signing him away from another team that had the ability to keep him, and then adding, just as a coup de grace, adding Ed Davis at the room mid-level. Ed Davis has started for most of his career. He's a starting caliber center who took exception money to come play behind Rudy Gobert and help the Jazz out from a depth perspective. I don't think Jazz fans could be, any happier, or they certainly should be happy with the way that the first day of free agency played out for the Jazz.
Yeah, not only the first day, but about the first hour. I mean, that's how fast it was. So to get Bogdanovic, as you just mentioned, and stealing him from a team in Indiana that Indiana, I like what the Pacers did yesterday as well. Obviously, you're not going to be able to fill the gap of Bogdanovic, but nonetheless, landing Ed Davis, to me, that's such a sneaky move for someone that maybe is a lighthearted basketball fan, right? Maybe the name Ed Davis doesn't really strike a bell. Maybe you're not too familiar with him. I mean, he spent some time in LA, spent some time in Portland. This guy is really, really good defensively when he is on the court.
Defensively, and the guy is a rebounding machine. He's got flypaper hands and grabs like double-digit rebounds per 36 minutes. He's really good at that. Like I say, he's good enough to start on a lot of NBA teams, so the fact that he would willingly embrace a role where he knows he's going to be playing behind Rudy Gobert is substantial, and here's what he does, Jordan. He lessens the sting of losing Derek Favors. I mean, I know that as excited as the Jazz were about Bojan Bogdanovic, the tough thing about losing Favors is that Favors was both the starting four on this team, and he was an elite, maybe the best backup center in the NBA last season, and probably the Jazz's third best player in overall terms when you think about just contributing to winning. So losing Derek Favors hurts, and obviously Bojan will replace a lot of the production at the four spot and also play some small forward minutes. But really, they needed to also get a player like Ed Davis so that they could be confident that they had 48 minutes of quality play at the center spot. And, I mean, heaven forbid, but if Rudy Gobert misses any time, I mean, you know, he missed a couple of months in the season two seasons ago. So, you know, it's not like out of the realm of possibility that Rudy Gobert might tweak something at some point and need a week off or a couple weeks off or whatever. And if that happens, heaven forbid, you know, you need to know that you have someone that you can look to provide some starting caliber play at that center position. And the Jazz were able to get that at less than a third of the cost of what it would have cost to retain Derek Favors. So doing that, I think, emboldened them and made it easier to take the leap of faith and go after Bojan, who, as I mentioned, he's a real basketball player.
We'll talk about Derek Favors here for a moment, because it seemed like his Utah Jazz life had nine lives. I mean, every trade deadline, every offseason, we're talking about Derek Favors being on the move. I remember talks going back 4 or 5 years ago. You know, is Derek Favors going to be wearing a Utah Jazz uniform when we wake up in the morning? I do believe that small market teams sometimes get attached to certain players that become fan favorites. And I know Jazz fans are extremely sad to see Derek Favors go. This is an instance where I truly, totally understand it. This guy was the heart and soul of this team for the last few seasons, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at this point, he's the longest tenured Jazz man. Just really tied to everything that the Jazz have been building for the last several years. He's the last remaining link to the Jerry Sloan Jazz. Actually, that's not entirely true. He joined the Jazz via trade about a week after Jerry Sloan quit. But you know, to that era, at least, of basketball, he played with Andre Kirilenko, for example. He's just been a part of the family, a part of the organization for such a long time that fans are understandably sad to see him go. And hey, like, to your point about nine lives, I'm not even convinced, Jordan, that it was a foregone conclusion that he was gone this summer. I think there was a short list of players that would have made the Jazz comfortable in moving on from Favors. And if they hadn't gotten any of those guys, I think there's a really good chance Favors would have been back in that same role, and the Jazz would have been willing to see if the presence of a shooting point guard and scoring point guard in Mike Conley might have made it more workable to play Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors together more often. But the way it played out is they got one of those guys on the list, one of the guys that they were excited enough about that they said, hey, let's take this in a slightly different direction, really move towards a pace and space type of construct with four shooters around Rudy Gobert as an elite rolling and finishing big man. And that's the way it played out. But, you know, I know for a fact that it was not without heartburn that they let Derek Favors go to New Orleans.
Again, we're being joined right now by Dan Clayton of SaltCityHoops.com. We'll talk more about where you can find Dan's work in just a moment. Again, as we continue to talk Utah Jazz basketball, all the talk about shooting and the help of Donovan Mitchell. But Dan, when I look at what this Jazz roster now holds, I'm really excited to see the floor spacing around Rudy Gobert. How long has it been, or has Rudy ever had this much floor spacing since he's been in Utah?
You know, it's funny. I'm working on an article right now, and one of the things I point to was, I don't know if you remember this, but around the trade deadline, Zach Lowe, who's a prominent and well-respected columnist for ESPN, he wrote something about how the Jazz would be scary good if Jay Crowder were 10% better than he is, right? Meaning, you know, those lineups with Jay Crowder were extremely positive and the Jazz were really good when they had him on the court, even though Jay Crowder is an inconsistent shooter and, you know, has some liabilities and whatever else. Well, guess what? They were able to get a player who's like, I don't know, 50% better than Jay Crowder, twice as good as Jay Crowder. I don't know exactly how to do that math in macro terms, but Bojan Bogdanovic is a substantial upgrade from Jay Crowder in terms of someone who can step in and be that stretch four. And they did it while also upgrading, obviously, from Ricky Rubio to Mike Conley at the point guard. So, yeah, they're just going to have so much more space. Jay Crowder, you know, he did a lot of things really well for the Jazz. He brought toughness. He brought leadership. But he was like a 32% shooter from the corners, I think, last year. Meanwhile, Bojan Bogdanovic shoots over 50% from the corner three. And that's a shot that's really important to the Jazz to make sure that there's room when Rudy comes rolling down the lane in a pick and roll. So Rudy's going to have a ton of space to work with. Donovan Mitchell is going to have a ton of space to work with. Mike Conley is going to come off pick and rolls and have a lot of options. You know, Dante Exum, when he's healthy, is going to be able to slice through the lane with that elite quickness and make some decisions in a spaced floor. So I think it's going to be great for everybody involved, even though obviously the players they had to give up were all players who contributed things, but this is just a new-look Utah Jazz that's going to be really interesting and dynamic offensively.
Right, and I'm always a believer that when you give someone a lot of money or you bring in a contract that you're going to be responsible for the next couple of seasons, you have to do a terrific job of protecting that asset, right? Because Joe Ingles is obviously considered an asset. And when I look at some of these moves over the offseason, Dan, I can't help but think this is going to really lift Joe Ingles as well. I think finally you're complimenting that contract that you gave him a couple of years ago.
Yeah, for sure. I'll say one thing to start. Joe Ingles was never on the table in any of the deals that the Jazz were discussing this summer. The Conley deal, in terms of how they might create space to go after another player like Bojan Bogdanović, Joe Ingles was never on the table. The other thing I heard is that Dante Exum was never on the table. The Jazz are still real believers in his elite tools. He has two areas where he's elite at an NBA level. That's on-ball defense and his speed with the ball and ability to break down the defense. And they believe in that stuff. So those are players that the Jazz always wanted to keep as part of their depth and part of their roster construct. And the fact that they were able to go out and add two difference makers in Conley and Bojan, to say nothing of Davis, which, again, was kind of just the cherry on the top last night, and honestly a little bit surprising that they were able to land him too. But to go out and get two difference makers and two starting caliber impact players in Conley and Bojan without sacrificing their depth was really amazing. Because, if they'd gone after Tobias Harris, for example, I think there's no way you get to Tobias Harris without sacrificing Joe or Dante. And obviously that's part of the reason why the Jazz got a player who, frankly, I think fits even better than Tobias, and they did it at a price point where they could keep some really good players around Bojan, around this new core of really Conley, Mitchell, Gobert, and Bojan, four really interesting star caliber players.
For someone that covers the Jazz, someone that eats, drinks, and sleeps Utah Jazz basketball as you do, Dan, this is the first time in a really long time that we could talk NBA championship-type expectations. I mean, really, when you go back and you think about it, it's been a decade since we've been able to have a conversation like that. For Jazz fans, I mean, this has got to be a day where, again, on paper, you have a legitimate chance to compete for an NBA championship.
Sure, and if you look at other things that are happening in the West, now some of this will depend on, there is one big fish out there in free agency still, and that's the reigning finals MVP, Kawhi Leonard. He might land in either LA team, and if he does, then that changes the power structure a little bit. But you have Golden State that lost Kevin Durant yesterday and has Klay Thompson healing up from an injury. You have Portland, who were conference finalists last summer, but they have some depth problems, and they're going to lose some guys because financially they're strapped and not able to keep all of their Seth Curry and Enes Kanter are both going to defect from Portland. Houston has some issues. They wanted to get Jimmy Butler. They're not going to be able to get Jimmy Butler. So all of the teams around the Jazz who might look at what's happening in Golden State and say, hey, carpe diem, this is the moment to seize the mountaintop is unguarded. Let's go claim that space as ours. I think the Jazz are in as good of shape as anybody to do that, obviously pending Kawhi's decision and where he lands.
Dan Clayton, again, at SaltCityHoops.com. Dan, it's a pleasure, as always, to get you on the show. Before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Yeah, SaltCityHoops.com is where I do most of my long-form writing, and then I'm doing a bunch of reacting and, cap math stuff as free agency develops on my Twitter account. That's Dan Clayton with a zero for the O, Dan Clayton, 0N.
Yeah, definitely one of the best Twitter followers as far as Utah Jazz basketball, and as you mentioned, even the Cap. The Cap's a very confusing thing, and I only have a few hours throughout the week to do this show, not enough time to explain the entire Cap, so again, just follow Dan Clayton. He'll break it all down for you. It's a fun time to be a part of basketball, isn't it?
It is tricky, but it's a lot of fun to get into it, and so I do spend a lot of my day answering people's questions about, wait, how does that work, and wait, what can the Jazz do now, and the short version is that the Jazz will fill out the rest of their roster with minimum salary players, but that's fine. I mean, they've already really been one of the big winners this offseason, so we'll see what they do to finish up, but most of the big work is done for Justin Zanuck and the Utah Jazz.
Dan, a pleasure as always. Can't wait to do it again soon. Thank you again for the time.
All right, we'll talk soon.
Definitely a pleasure to get Dan Clayton on the show today. We've got a break for just a moment. More free agency chit-chat coming up when we return. It's a Monday edition of Drive Time Sports right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.